Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. The Chiefs have officially locked down the number one seed in the AFC for the umpteenth time in Patrick Mahomes' career. It's basically what we do. We took a little bit of an off year last year. You know, we had to go to the Bills and the Ravens, but not this year, Kansas City. Chiefs are staying home for the playoffs, which is a great Christmas present in itself. We had a beautiful win on Christmas Day. I mean, things are good in the Chiefs kingdom right now. So I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all, what's up? I'm Jody.
And we don't usually do a show on a Friday, but we are here to dive into everything with you guys. It's been a weird week with, like, Christmas being on Wednesday, Christmas Eve being on Tuesday night. Like, when are we supposed to do our show?
So, yeah, literally. And life has just been mad busy for the both of us.
Life is hectic. So we're just hopping on with you on a Friday afternoon. But we want to dive in to our first sponsor real quick before we kick things off, which is the lovely Pink Lips Cosmetics. And we're not Black Friday anymore, but we still have 15% off. So right now I have this lovely pink lips, like red lip gloss over one of their red lipsticks, and it's pretty.
I love that lip.
It's really good. And it stays on throughout the day. Like, I've been wearing it for the holidays all week long and going out to dinner and drinks and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, this stuff stays on your lips. But not only do they have lip product, they have all kinds of other stuff. They have foundation, they have eyebrow pencils. She has amazing product. It is based out of Kansas City, and they're sold in Targets, Walmart, etc. Female owned. Absolutely awesome. We love being their partner. So be sure to use our promo code KQ15 for 15% off of their products. And, you know, if you need, like, some post-Christmas, pre-New Year's Eve stuff, Pink Lips is where you got to go. So,
literally, I have on Expose Me today, which feels a little nudie.
It's a nice nude. I need to do a nude sometime. I feel like I'm always like bright.
I feel like the only colors I wear are, like, Chiefs colors on my actual body, and that's it.
Same.
I go so, like, plain.
Like, so it's all we wear. So yeah.
It's all right. It's all good. It's all good. Well, let's go ahead and hop into Around the NFL. As we were getting ready to hop on right now, literally two things just broke in addition. So I think first we can start with Jalen Hurts. The Eagles have went ahead and said that he is inactive for week 18, which he did take a very hard hit and went into concussion protocol, and he definitely looks super dazed after their last game. So I'm not surprised at all that he will be missing this week and still is in concussion protocol, but they're already in the playoffs, right? Like, they've already locked in the number one seed in the NFC East, so he can rest. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I feel for Jalen, sorry. There's too many J names. Way too many J names. I feel for Jalen because he is such a fun football player to watch. He's very talented, but he led his team to a lot of wins. Unfortunately, he went out with a concussion versus the Commanders. Like you said, it didn't look good, and then they ended up losing that game. However, Kenny Pickett did okay filling in.
Well, he's starting this week.
So good luck, Kenny Pickett.
Best of luck. Best of luck.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but bummer for Jalen, hopefully. But it's best, like you said, to rest him for playoffs and whatnot. So
yeah, it's most important.
Rest up.
The other news that broke, which I haven't even had a chance to really dive into the details to see what it's about, but it looks like
right before we started,
literally right before, it looks like Deshaun Watson and the Browns came to a restructuring agreement on his contract, which, as you know, as football fans, it was the worst contract in the NFL, so it definitely needed to be restructured. So again, I haven't dove into the details. I'm definitely going to look into it because I'm interested to see how the Browns are getting the heck out of this contract or making any type of adjustment, because that...
Did you see Ian Rappaport just said, too, they're actually, the Browns will be bringing in another quarterback for competition, whether it's a rookie or a veteran. Deshaun Watson is going to have competition. So.
I did not see that. That is hilarious.
So either way, they have to pay him, but they're like, we're tired of losing, and we have a lot of other good players on this team. Really, so
I know. Well, you know, I'm not surprised, though, based off of, like, what Myles Garrett just said. Like, I don't know if you remember last week, like, right after their last loss, he came out and was like, we need to figure out a way to win. And I was like, you know, I mean, if you want to come to Kansas City, I'm fine with that. But the statements that he made it seem like he was like, you know, we need to win now or, like, get me out of here. And then he followed up with, but I want to be with the Browns forever. Like,
yeah.
Sure, you do.
No, yeah. It's reminiscent of Max Crosby's comments about wanting to be with the Raiders forever. It's like, I know, I appreciate y'all's loyalty, but, like, you also don't want to waste your career just losing. So
no, not at all. Not at all.
So anyway. Or just real quick, I was reading the Deshaun Watson thing. He's still going to be a Brown till at least 2026.
So for at least 2 more years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
That sucks
for
them.
Well, that makes sense. You said that they just announced, too, that they're still going to go out and get another quarterback that's he's going to have to compete for his role. Like, yeah, we may be stuck with you for the next 2 years, but that doesn't mean we're rolling with you for
but
the next
not, 2 years. But we're not. Yeah, you don't get the starting job. So.
And whoever they go out and get, I'm sure it's going to be like, who? It's going to be like what the Steelers did this year with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Like, we're going to bring you both in. We're going to give you both $7, and then we're going to keep it moving from there because they don't really have money to pay any quarterback right now. So whoever they go out and get, it's going to be like a something along those lines. I'm just going to go ahead and assume.
Pretty much.
So I did not watch Thursday Night Football yesterday, and I'm very glad that
did
I
did not. Thing.
Because when I turned on the game for like 5 minutes during the third quarter, the score was like 6-3, and I was like, oh, okay, great. I'm not missing
literally anything. I mean, I tried to watch because I was like, oh, last Thursday Night Football, like, let's see if they can do anything and give us a little form of entertainment. No, I think I fell asleep by like the second quarter. I was like, I'm not sitting up for this. Like,
well, so to be fair, I forgot yesterday was Thursday. Hey,
right. I don't know what day it is. So
I was gone. And so by the time I finally came up to a TV, I was like, oh yeah, there's football. And then I looked at the score and I was like, oh yeah, no. I'm turning this off.
Not even a touchdown. Like, yeah, not even
turning this down.
I don't know. It was horrendous. The parts that I did see, it was like just nothing was working for anyone on either side. I mean, it was just horrible. I guess both defenses did really well.
I don't even know where the game was. Was it in Chicago? Or
it was in Chicago.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even.
In Chicago, and it just, it was just bad.
It kind of just tells you, though, like, okay, we're about to talk about Christmas right now, guys. But it just kind of shows you that. And I know we're going to talk about the rest of the NFL later, like the rest of the games for the weekend.
Yes.
But Thursday, Wednesday, whatever day Christmas was, Wednesday was the best games of the week.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
and even those were like.
Kind of. Yeah, because that. Let's go ahead and get into Ravens Texans. The Ravens took their butts down to Houston. Honestly, everybody was solely just here for Beyonce anyway. Like, great seeing y'all, but we ain't here for y'all. I actually put all white on later in the day. No, I'm kidding. We that game was not great. The Texans look terrible.
Horrible.
And I know that they can't help it because you're missing two of your best wide receivers in Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get that. But Jesus Christ. the Ravens look Lamar Jackson looked like an MVP. Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. Like, they ran all over them and they could not stop the run.
Well, the problem was the poor freaking Texans defense. I mean, the offense couldn't keep them on the field long enough, so the defense had time to rest. Their defense was gassed by probably the second half. The only good thing that happened for the Texans that game was the Derrick Henry safety into the end zone that Texans defense got and got them 2 points. I mean, they didn't even make a field goal. Like, not even a – they didn't even get in field goal range.
Getting embarrassed in front of Beyonce is crazy. That's all I can think. Like,
that's Beyonce, her hometown, and that's the best you guys could do.
They should have let the Chiefs play the Texans this week.
I just, I don't even know, man. It was bad. Just bad, bad, bad.
It really sucks because the Texans were having a good start to the season, especially coming off of how last season went.
Yeah,
they had a good offseason. They went out and got some more pieces because they knew how close they made it last year. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to keep rolling with what we got, add some more pieces in, and then, you know, make it back to the playoffs this season. And even though, yes, they're going to make it to the playoffs.
It's...
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to go out in the first round, and I really hate
that. That just tells you how bad the AFC South is, that the Texans won the division, are going to win it with, like, 9 wins.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It gives NFC South. It gives NFC South.
Oh, yeah. It does. It's the same thing. The Souths have got to figure it out. Yeah. DG, are we sure she even watched the game? Beyonce probably left after halftime, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Because who's staying around for that? Who is staying around for that?
Sweet and, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Bengals are trying to make their way to the playoffs still. They need a Chiefs loss, a Colts loss, and a Broncos loss.
Broncos, yeah.
Who did I say? Chiefs, Colts, and Dolphins, and Broncos.
Wait, right? No, they don't need us to lose. We don't matter for them anymore. They need us to win, actually. They need us to beat the Broncos.
But the Broncos need to lose at least one. Still.
But the Broncos... So the thing is, the Bengals play the Broncos this weekend.
Right, the Bengals play the Broncos this weekend, but the Broncos still need to lose one. The Dolphins have to lose one.
Yeah.
The Colts
have to lose one. So the Bengals would have to win Saturday, and then they would need us to win the following weekend. Plus, they need a Colts loss. Plus, they need...
A Dolphins loss.
Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. So, Bengals, I cannot wait until the sign comes up that says you're eliminated, because it's going to come. You're not making it to the playoffs. I don't care.
I'll be shocked if they do, but...
There's no...
And
they need 17 miracles to happen in the next 10 days for them to make it to the playoffs.
Right. And I don't, you know... I think it's funny. People are like, oh, well, I'd rather see Joe Burrow in the playoffs than Bo Nix. I'm like, I get that, but then you should have had more game-winning drives. You should have made, you know, you should have won along the way more, and you didn't need to come down to this situation. Now, Joe Burrow has been a very good quarterback, but he's not coming in the clutch. Like, he's not out there saving the game. I mean, his defense is letting him down for sure, but.
I think it's hilarious that.
I don't know.
I think it's hilarious that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are both having the best season of their career, and they have 8 losses.
Right. It's, like, actually insane.
It's actually hilarious, but...
Your defense, the downfall. I mean, Louis Anarumo was, like, one of the best coordinators out there for a while, and then it's just...
Yeah, he usually cooks.
It's bad.
And it could be that that's what happens when teams start to get film on you. They start to learn your scheme, and if you aren't being creative and coming up with different ways, I'll say that about Spags. People always talk about the defense and how vanilla they are at the beginning of the season and all of these things. Well, it's because he dials most of that up towards the back half of the year, and then you see a whole different playbook in the playoffs. So it's like all of these teams that are out here putting up all of these points during the season, you think that teams like the Chiefs are not going to use that against you.
Right. That's what I think is funny. Like the style points thing. It's like, oh, well, Chiefs haven't scored more than 30. Who cares? We won 15 games. Like
literally.
I actually am glad that our playbook isn't out there for the world to see. Like, I'm sorry. I love Dan Campbell. I love the Lions, but like their playbook is out there.
Yeah, no, win by one. And I'm fine with that.
I heard, I think it was someone that was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday or the day before or something was saying like, oh, but so the Ravens have lost 5 games, but those losses have all come within one score. So they're not big losses. And I'm like, so y'all want to praise them for getting one score losses, but y'all want to go against us when we get one score wins. Okay.
Okay. All right. All
Keep
right.
The same energy. Okay.
Please. I do want to, I know we're getting ready to talk about really quickly the AFC and the NFC window and what it's looking like. So we know that we're pretty much in playoff season now. Not necessarily a lot of teams, because week 18 is going to be a big deal for some of these divisional matchups, especially like the Vikings and the Lions and the Bengals clearly. And then there's someone else. Green Bay and
the Vikings.
Green Bay plays the Vikings week 18. So there's a lot of teams.
Lions play the Vikings week 18.
Yeah, the Lions play the Vikings.
But Green Bay plays the Vikings.
Right. So one, I'm not sure if you guys have paid attention to that division at all, but they are all three teams within like a one game dividing who wins that division, and it is a battle over there, and I love to see it. Like, I absolutely love how competitive all three of those teams are. The AFC West, we're basically coming down to who is going to fill into that 6th and 7th seed. And that's really we're gonna figure that out maybe some this weekend, but we really probably won't know until week 18. But that 6th and 7th seed right now, it's looking like it could be the Colts, it could be the Bengals, it could be the Broncos,
Dolphins, Chargers. I think Chargers are pretty much in.
I think the Chargers are out.
So really, it's like the 7th seed.
Yeah. I think the Chargers are out. So.
But you don't think they're going to make it?
I don't think they're going to make it.
They have to lose their last two, though. I don't think they're going to lose to the Raiders.
You know, the Raiders could do something funny. I need to pull up. I don't know their schedule off the top of my head, so I just need to pull it up.
Well, they play the Patriots this weekend.
And they're not trying to lose their draft pick. Well, the Patriots, they're probably not trying to lose their draft pick from where they are now.
Right.
The Raiders should lose since they won last week and went from the 1st seed to the 6th seed. Sorry, not seed. In the draft, they went from the 1 to the 6 by winning last week. Stupid. Yeah. You have the Colts who are literally just like hanging on by a freaking thread.
Oh my God. And then, did you see Anthony Richardson hasn't been practicing?
No, he's hurt.
He has some kind of shoulder injury or something.
But he's been battling with the shoulder all year.
I know, but he hasn't been practicing. But I'm like, you guys need to win this game. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they have Flacco, but.
Maybe yeah. It's
Chris. I don't know. But they play the Giants, so I do feel like Joe Flacco could be the Giants too if they need it.
They should, if the Giants don't want to lose their pick, so I don't see them coming out here and just trying to get a win either, especially after the season they have with Saquon being gone and all of that.
Yeah.
So, MVP. You know, the MVP race is actually really funny.
It's actually hilarious.
I started pushing the Patrick Mahomes agenda after the Christmas game. I was like,
I think we all did a little bit.
Patrick Mahomes deserves to be the MVP of this season. Here's my reasoning why. Like, let's go ahead. Like, I know people hate us, but if you look at his season and his numbers and his stats and what he's done so far for this year, he deserves to be in the conversation. I don't care how many one score games that he has. I'm about to die.
I agree. I think Patrick fully deserves to be in the conversation for one. And this is where I think Andy Reid deserves to be in the conversation for coach of the year as well. these guys have overcome, and I know y'all have Chief Strangement Syndrome, and I know you're tired of us. I get it. Like, everyone's tired of the Chiefs. But the Chiefs started the season without their quote-unquote wide receiver 1-2 in Hollywood Brown. We lost him the first preseason game. Then 2 weeks into the year, we lose Isaiah Pacheco, running back 1. We bring in Kareem Hunt, who was fresh off the couch, who has been phenomenal, and he told us we wouldn't regret bringing him back.
Sure.
But and he, right, we have not whatsoever, and so I love that. Then we lost Rocky Rice the next week. Then we brought in Juju Smith-Schuster. Then he went out for 4 weeks. Then we brought in D-Hop. Then he's been getting acclimated, and Xavier Worthy is finding his way. So it's really been like a series of adjustments almost every single week for the first 10 weeks or not more. So plus you have like a week 6 bye week. You're still winning all these games. The worst you've lost was to the Bills, and they just got the better of us that day. And aside from that, like, it's the clutch drives. It's the wasting of the clock. It's the everything these guys are able to do. I don't know how they're not in more contention for MVP and Coach of the Year. However, at the same time, I know they don't really care, and they'd rather go get the three-peat, and they don't – like, I feel like that's why the talk hasn't been that much, because, like, the focus isn't even there.
Yeah, the focus doesn't have to be there to identify things that are great. And even if Patrick doesn't get MVP, which I'm totally fine with,
yeah,
the disrespect to Andy Reid is it's a little asinine because he is
year in and year out
leading a team to 3 AFC. Well, more this is the 6th AFC champion. Well, not championship, but this is the 6th time now that they've been
Technically not yet. Potential to host it.
Boom. Tickets already.
Right.
But it doesn't, it's not fair, especially for Andy Reid. This will be the third time that the team is leading to go towards the Super Bowl. That's what I'm trying to say. This is their third time that they're driving to three-peat. And I feel like if you lead it to three-peating, there should be no hesitation that it's Coach of the Year, because name another team that has done that. You cannot. So, you know, it's really unfortunate, but
it's like it's expected. So then he doesn't get the credit, which is unfortunate.
So when you look at Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Saquon Barkley, now I want to say that Josh Allen has completely jinxed himself because his team got him a chain that says MVP.
Why did they do that?
Why?
I don't know.
And then you put it on. You put it out there on the social so the people can judge you.
I feel like that was a jinx tonight.
That's almost as bad as them putting that Super Bowl picture in their practice facility.
Right.
And they took that down.
They did take that down.
They took that down expeditiously. Oh, Lord. So, okay, who's your MVP between Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen?
As much as I love Saquon, I think you got to give him Offensive Player of the Year. I think that's where I go with him. I think it's between Lamar and Josh. And I think the funny thing is, so last season, Lamar Jackson won it, right? But Josh Allen, aside from turnovers, like led him in every stat. But Lamar had the better record, and he was kind of just like the media darling MVP favorite last year. And actually, I think you could have argued that Dak Prescott could have won it last year too. So I think, and I watched the discourse, I watched the discourse between Bills fans and Ravens fans, and Bills fans are like, oh, well, yeah, Lamar might have the stats this year, but why didn't that matter last year? And so on and so forth, you know? And so I think that's kind of funny. For a while, I was really heavily leaning Josh. I was like, I think this is his year. I think this is the time he gets it. He has made some incredible plays. I will give him that. He drives me crazy, but like he's made some incredible plays. Can't deny it, right? And then same thing with Lamar. He drives me crazy too, but he's made some really incredible plays as well. He's lost a few more games than Josh has, and I think you could kind of say Lamar overall has better weapons in like a Derrick Henry, which is an unbelievable running back that will be a Hall of Famer, who does a lot for that team as well. Like, so I don't know. It's tough for me. I think Josh Allen is going to go put on the performance of his life this Sunday versus the Jets. I think he's going to try to like really nail that down and try to make the talk once again. But I feel like right now the media is leaning Lamar.
I think the media is heavily leaning Josh Allen. I still can't get past the arm punt.
Oh my God.
That is the most delusional.
No one else gets that. Ever. That's unbelievable.
Patrick, imagine if they would have said that about Patrick Mahomes. Just imagine. I want the listeners to take 30 seconds to think about if they would have said Patrick Mahomes had an arm punt. No, he had an interception. That's what it was.
An interception, and the Patriots player was dumb and ran it out of the end zone for a yard.
Shout out to Justin Reed for staying in the end zone yesterday.
Literally.
But, I think Josh Allen, they have been pushing the Josh Allen MVP agenda for years, and he just hasn't been able to get past Patrick Mahomes to get it.
No.
And Lamar Jackson deserved every bit of it last season. For me, I lean more Josh Allen specifically because he doesn't have as many weapons as Lamar. And honestly, Derrick Henry could be Offensive Player of the Year too. So yeah, totally. Now, I will say,
also, Jamar Chase could also be Offensive Player of the Year.
Jamar Chase should actually probably get it.
Right? Like, I don't know. They're all playing out of their minds.
He hit 1,500 yards a week or two ago with like 2 or 3 weeks left of football. So, I'm going to say that it's probably going to go to Josh Allen because he's finally due for one. It's like, you know how they push the Chargers are better than the Chiefs agenda. That's the agenda that I'm getting here with Josh Allen. So, I think he finally did this year.
He is playing out of his mind, too. Like, he and Lamar both are. And honestly, I could see both of them winning it and it being fine either way. For me, I think it's fine either way.
Yeah, either way. But I will say, I think Derrick Henry helps Lamar Jackson's case a lot.
Yeah.
So, sure. And Josh Allen doesn't really have that. And he technically lost his number one receiver this year.
That's the thing. And Lamar also has Mark Andrews, who's a fantastic tight end.
Is he going to be he should be comeback player of the year.
Yeah, he could be.
I mean, he's had a really great second half of the season. So, anyway, that's enough of that MVP talk. I am excited to see how Josh Allen looks this week, especially after looking not great last week against the Giants. Stupid.
No, Patriots
are supposed to win. I was going all hard for them, and they just didn't do anything.
They didn't do it. It's all right.
Freaking A. It's okay. Let's go ahead and recap Christmas Day. Christmas Day was very fun for Chiefs fans based off of what happened to us last year on Christmas Day. I think we all remember just how traumatizing that exactly was. It was rough.
We didn't talk about Texans, though. Do we want to talk about that Saturday game? Because we haven't done a podcast since last week. We had two games since then. We can go over it quick, though. We don't have to say it.
Oh, God, I forgot.
I know. Yeah.
The Chiefs beat up on the Texans. Score was 27-19.
We had three games in 11 days. So
I totally forgot about that game. Yes. Let me dig back. I think when we go back to that game, like the first thing that you almost have to say is like all of the prayers to Tank Dell and the injury that
he had.
Basically everything that could go wrong with your leg and an injury happened to him, and his recovery process is not only going to be very hard, but it's going to be very long to get back. Yeah. So I can't wait to see how that goes and how he gets back on the field. Yeah. So much love from all of Chiefs Kingdom to him, because that was rough. That was rough, but we can recap it real quick. I mean, Patrick Mahomes
is getting
it again. He every single week his stats keep to increase. He finally had over a 300-yard game this week. Even though I know we're not talking not this week, Christmas. Even though we're talking about the Texans, which God bless, I don't even remember the Texans game.
I know it's like a blur, but
yeah. Oh yeah, I didn't go. That's why I don't remember. Well, I didn't remember. Why don't I remember this game? Because I was a struggling individual. But based off of the notes, Patrick Mahomes threw for one touchdown. He had one rushing touchdown, which literally nobody put on their ticket. 260 yards.
That was the over my dead body touchdown.
It was. And he had 33 rushing yards, which I remember Ankle Gate is coming back to me it's coming back to me now. And everybody, there was a big ordeal on should Patrick play this week? Should he rest? Should he play? Should he rest? He should rest because the Steelers game is more important. And he went out there and had the over my dead body game as expected.
We like, if you don't know how Patrick Mahomes plays on a hurt ankle by now, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he says it himself. He plays better football on his hurt ankle because it calms him down. It makes him like, he has to stay more in the pocket. He can't be quite as mobile as he wants to be and kind of makes less boneheaded decisions, I guess you could say. Which he doesn't, he hasn't made a boneheaded decision in a long time. You know, that was like the first half of the season was kind of the tail of that. Now that's changed. It's changed completely. But I feel like this was the first time. So we got Hollywood Brown back, which was super exciting. He made his debut and he looked really good. And I feel like that's what Patrick was missing. Like, did you see how much just more comfortable he looked? And that made everyone else look.
Well, and had, Hollywood Brown took way more reps than I thought he was going to take in that game, which just showed me how healthy he was. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting his snap count to be so high. Yeah. So to see him actually on the field, seeing Xavier Worthy kind of be able to go back into what his role was supposed to be, not taking on so much pressure of being the number two receiver and really kind of getting the step back into what his ideal role is. You see in the 2 weeks, it was literally four days. You see in the two games how much these two guys are truly making an impact by playing the role that they have been practicing the whole entire offseason to be in to play. And you've seen it ramp up even more just against the Steelers this week. But in the Texans game, it really kind of like showed like, okay, this is what the offense is and who it's supposed to be. And I'll say like my favorite thing to see is, my favorite thing to see is every time there's like a receiver bunch set, it's my favorite. Rather, it's Zay, Hollywood, Travis, or DeAndre Hopkins, or Hollywood, or Zay. That's my favorite thing to see because talk about confusing the defense and going out and getting a first down and everybody running crosses and everything that you can just fully expect. So it's very good to see all of your weapons kind of finally come back in that game.
Can you imagine if we had Rashi out there with them? Ugh.
Well, if we had Rashi, we wouldn't have D-Hop.
I know. You're right. You're right. It's all
meant to be. I'm really happy D-Hop's here.
Yeah. No. I know.
Like, me, love D-Hop. But, I mean,
me I do too.
A topic that we have in the Texans game is actually something I was going to talk about in the Steelers game, too. And it's really the reemergence of Nico Remigio and how he has really stepped into this role on the special teams and what he's been able to do and deliver. And so not only has he been great, I definitely think he's giving another player who's currently on the IR run for their money. And if they'll be on the season. And I am very happy with the performance that's coming from Nico. So, I mean, if this is what we're getting out of him of, hey, we're elevating you off the practice squad and we need you to go out there and be the special time, the special teams guy, then, hey, I'll take that all day long. And every single week, he's doing nothing but improving.
Right. And I think Nico has, like, he's just been waiting for the opportunity to come.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what you're seeing out of him. He's fresh legs. He's healthy. And, like, he can – this is his time to shine. And he's made he's done very well. I'm very impressed. Now, he did have a fumble on Christmas. But luckily
– had a fumble his first game back, too.
I know. I mean, it happens. So overall, very happy with him. And then I think we got to talk about Joe Tooney as well, because that cannot be understated how good he has been thrown into left tackle because DJ Humphreys hasn't been healthy. And then Mike Caliendo at left guard as well. Like those Mike two. Caliendo,
you got to give him some credit as well. Like that left side has been thousands times better. And
The D lines they've been up against have been really, really good D lines. Like the Browns with Myles Garrett, then you had Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, and then you had TJ Watt and Cam Hayward. And yeah, it's like never ending.
Of all the guys that this offensive line is so good. But Joe Tooney being allowed,
like, one sack total, like one, I think, was it?
In
all those three games, I think they allowed one sack total.
Okay, I was like, I didn't actually hear what you said. It didn't come through on my side.
Sorry. In all those three games, they had one sack total allowed.
I mean, and Joe Tooney is an all-pro left guard. So seeing him be able to kind of make that adjustment and step into that left tackle role to make Patrick feel so much better, which you can see by his performance too, he's playing so much more relaxed in the pocket. Now, granted, the pocket is still collapsing, not nearly as much as it was previously, but he's being able to create that time to still get the ball down the field and get it to his receiver, and you're seeing that. And I can't – Patrick Mahomes running the ball for more than 10 yards every single game is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Patrick Mahomes is going to rush the ball every single game. And so being able to I remember when it clicked for him that his legs work and he started running
Oh, yeah, I can run.
I remember like halfway through the season, I'm like, Pat, use your legs and run. And it seems like ever since then, he's been making sure to get out of – when you say your quarterback is slippery, he's making sure to, when he has the moment, to really get out of there and do it. I don't have any defensive takeaways from that game because I can't remember. Besides the fact, that's the game they had five turnovers. Six.
I think that was the Browns one. But Trent McDuffie did have a second interception against CJ Stroud. And then I think Jaden Hicks also had an interception. I was rewatching it. I was rewatching the highlights just a little bit ago. Because I was like, I can't remember. But Jaden Hicks and Trent McDuffie, we had two CJ Stroud interceptions. Let me not get ahead of myself. And then we sacked him a few times, too. I think George kind of ate. I think Tershawn Wharton kind of ate. Our linebacker, Nick Bolton, had himself a good game. Drew Tranquil had himself. Justin Reed had himself a really good game. Twice in a row now. But Justin Reed, you know, wanted to go off against the Texans. I think Charles did too, but I don't think he got a sack. But he did have a lot of pressure.
He almost had one.
He had a lot of pressure.
No, no, no. He almost had an interception.
Yeah. Or like
he almost had an interception.
Yeah.
It was right there. And I was like, oh my God, that would have been golden. That would have been golden if he would have got that.
I wish.
That was a great game. And it was nice to see, like, I know a lot of people talk about the Steelers game kind of finally being like a game where they feel like they didn't have to stress and stress watch. I feel that way for the Texans. I felt comfortable that whole entire game, especially because the defense had such a great game the week prior to. And you can see the offense kind of starting to finally get in their flow. And then inserting Hollywood Brown really just makes the difference. The last two weeks of football have been really good and really fun to watch. And it's nice to see that, especially towards the end of the year.
I think it's really good that, every single part of our team is clicking right now, which is
finding their way.
They're just smart. Like, we knew this was going to happen, and we tried to tell everyone, but everyone's like, no, Chiefs are one and done. Chiefs aren't going to do this, whatever. No, we knew. Like, we told y'all.
Keep that same energy. All right, so we said it. 15-1, which not a lot of teams have ever been able to get 15 wins in a season. So shout out to the Chiefs for that. Chiefs defense without Chris Jones holding the Steelers to 10 points.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how huge that is.
Unbelievable, actually. Chris Jones, what he does cannot be understated. Like, he is arguably, in my opinion, the best defensive player this year in the whole entire NFL. I think when you look at his pressure rate versus anyone else, he's like off the charts, and everyone else is like right here. Like, this man, Chris, and he might not have the sacks because it's like just like a millisecond too late, but his pressures that he's getting on these quarterbacks, and he's double and triple teamed every single snap, not to mention also held all the time. Like, this man it's just incredible what he does. But for our defense, it really, the next man up thing is so crucial to this team. And it's been like that. That's our story of the entire season is next man up.
You got to give credit to, I've rewatched the game twice now since Christmas, which is crazy. But you got to give credit to George Karloftis.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. And Charles Omenihu, both of them coming off of the edges during this game without Chris Jones.
Mike Dana looked really good. Yep. Tershawn looked good.
Tershawn Wharton was great. I mean, when you look back at this game, they had 5 sacks, which technically, okay, here's my argument. They technically had 6 sacks, and they took one from George. George had 2 sacks. They only credited him for one. So they credited him for one, should be 2. Dana had 2, Turk had 1, and FAU had 1. So technically, they had 6 sacks.
Wait. In this game. Oh, no, that was, never mind.
What?
I was thinking Joshua Williams, but that was on CJ Stroud. I'm getting these games confused.
Literally, they're all running together. But I mean, not only did they have 5, I still say 6 sacks, you have Trent McDuffie, who had a strip sack, and then Nick Bolton, who again for another week is continuing to show why he should be on this roster. And people continue to disrespect him every single week. And they say that he's not a great linebacker. And Nick Bolton is making a difference every single
week. He's phenomenal, actually. He's one of my favorite players on defense this year.
Absolutely.
It's phenomenal.
Every game he's been great. So, I mean, we said it a couple weeks ago. Once you start to finally see that turnover, they start coming in bunches. And we're really starting to see that at the point of the time where it's most important. So, I mean, there's so much you can say about the defense. I don't even know if we're doing player of the games this week, but Jaden
Hicks. I was like, it's too much.
Jaden freaking Hicks.
Oh my God. Yes. I was just going to say him. Yes.
What?
What a 4th round pickup. Oh yes,
I
wasn't even mad. I wasn't even mad at his penalty, his thumbs down. I wasn't even mad.
When I say every unsportsmanlike penalty that we got, I was like, okay. I know we had 3. Now Zay.
We gotta be smarter there. It was a cute celebration until the last little.
They still watching you, friend.
Yeah, we gotta.
You in the beginning, and then they cut the camera off, and now I'm going off because why are we giving him a penalty? And now you acting up.
Mm-hmm. We all were. We're like, why are you penalizing that? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, we all had to run back what we said. We were like, oh, never mind. You're right. Yeah.
Delete.
He needs that. But Travis Kelce, the best unsportsmanlike,
the best
penalty.
Yeah,
I want it every single week. I appreciate it
every time.
If you guys don't know, Travis did pass the record finally for Tony Gonzalez with most receiving touchdowns in Chiefs franchise at 77. Tony Gonzalez did say he was gonna pay that fine, right?
He did, and he tweeted it out again because so I don't know if you saw this exchange, but Tony tweeted out that congratulations, whatever. Mm-hmm. Travis replied and was like, thanks, big man. You did say you're going to pay the fine, right?
Tony's like, I got you.
So Tony is going to pay.
That's dope. Yeah. I love that. No, that's great. I mean, because that's one heck of an accomplishment. And he also broke the record for 1,000 receiving catches too. So the two things that we needed Travis to do in the last 4 weeks, well, not 4 weeks, but
he did
it in 4 weeks, one just with time. He did it in one game. And that was fantastic.
I think Mahomes broke the tied Peyton Manning for total touchdowns through first 8 seasons, which he didn't even really, he tied it, I think.
Yeah.
With 204.
I'm trying to remember the graphic.
I know. I'm picturing it. It was 204, and I think he tied it.
Yeah.
And I think it was first 8 seasons, which Mahomes didn't even play his first season except for one game. So,
yeah.
Sorry. Really? Really, it's in 7 seasons, but either way. But congrats to Travis and then Mahomes. They're always breaking records every week. Yeah. And I want to ask, why did the NFL decide it was offensive to dunk on the goalpost? Why is that
so
not allowed?
Apparently, the reffing crew, they have a thing against celebrations.
So no, but that one, it's been out long, but like, I don't know
why. And they've been doing it for years. So why is it now a taunting or an unsportsmanlike penalty? They said that this crew specifically is against like celebration.
Clearly, they
did not. I feel like there were 1,000 flags in this game. So I'm like, okay, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. While we're talking about the defense, I just want to say, shout out to y'all for making George Pickens look like a 5-year-old. That man had a tantrum and he crashed out. And I counted 3 times in the 4th quarter. And I was like, and then I actually had to record the video of Jaden Hicks because that was just
hilarious.
It was so good. But no, there was actually a part in the broadcast where Nate Burleson, word for word, said, he's clearly frustrated. Keep your head up, young man, and don't give up. At the 14-minute mark of the 4th quarter. And I'm like, are you serious right now? So, like, that should tell you guys everything.
They were some homers for the Steelers, too, on the broadcast, man.
When your brother.
I know.
When your brother is an announcer and your other brother is currently playing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, JJ. All right.
Yeah. JJ. Let's You got it.
Was there anything else that you wanted to dive into on the defense before we went to the offense?
Defense, no, I don't think so. Just very impressive overall. I think the only thing I really noticed Chris Jones missing on was the run game defense. I think he's a great person to be in there on that. And Jalen Warren ran all over us. Now, granted, I don't think that's 100 yards.
You got guys playing out of place now because Chris Jones is out. Exactly. And then Drew Tranquil was not really that great. I was like, there was a few times I was like, oh, he just got ran over. Okay.
Yeah. I think Chris was missed for that aspect alone. Yeah. But I think overall,
they still held him to 10 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 10 turnovers in 3 games.
Yeah. And Russ looked like shook most of the game. He looked like he did not.
It's funny you say that. Not only Russ did look shook, but there were lots of times where when you looked at their offense or their defense, you could see that like there was still a lot of communication happening. And I would say like that's the one great thing about like the Chiefs in general. They know how to like call the play, get the play off, and not have a ton of confusion to where there were multiple times where you could see the Steelers defense, and they were sitting there like talking to each other still, and we're already snapping the ball and getting the playoff. Mm-hmm. So there was lots of confusion there, and that probably does have something to do with 3 games in 4 days. I'm sorry, wait. 3 games in 11 days.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, no, my brain's not functioning. That probably has a lot to do with that, because trying to game plan. And I remember also saying, like, this is going to really come down to coaching and who is the better coach and who is going to have their guys ready. And how do you game plan for 2 games at the exact same time? And you kind of seen that from the Steelers this week, because you're right. They definitely did look flustered.
Yeah, no, they definitely did. And I think it's I don't know. But a few of the Steelers players were saying, like, it just seemed like there was one or two guys that they were all kind of mad at based on their post-game comments, but they wouldn't say
George Pickens? Oh.
No, I think it was on the defense, which I think it might have been Patrick Queen / Minka Fitzpatrick.
I wonder why. I didn't watch their post-game.
Well, those were the two guys that were, like, out of place a bunch of times.
A lot, and they had a couple penalties, too. Patrick Queen or two penalties, yeah.
And Patrick Queen missed. He should have had an interception on Mahomes. Yeah. He missed that. Like, just some focus issues. And I think they might have a little locker room turmoil. I think Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches to ever do it. But
we were having a conversation.
Like George Pickens. Like, yeah, I know.
We're just having that conversation. I feel like Mike Tomlin is very no nonsense. Like, I
reminds me of Andy Reid in that way, like, right? That he would be nonsense, like, but then
nonsense about his. But then you got players like George Pickens who are playing.
Granted, like, we had Kadarius Toney,
but
had his
didn't like keep him on the field. George Pickens was their number one receiver. You know what I mean? So, like, there were guys that were still ahead of him, and it was just like, you don't got to play. You can sit, and we're fine. So, no, there probably is some things going on there. And I might be wrong, but haven't the Steelers lost their last three games, too?
They lost all three.
They lost all three of their games. So, I mean, I'm sure there is a lot, which I wasn't expecting that at all. But I'm sure there is a lot of probably just built up frustration, too. And probably also being tired, because how do you sleep and rest on that short time? And they traveled as well on their second game and had to come back. And it was just a lot.
We all traveled. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough mental thing to go through. And I think that's why, like, the Chiefs and the Ravens set themselves apart this week in showing these are two really elite teams that can handle these tasks and can win all the games. And I think that's why you're going to see the Chiefs, Ravens, and the Bills at the end, I think, are going to be.
Yeah, I can't wait to see who comes to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Let's kind of talk about the offense for a little bit, though, before we keep it moving. Our offense was great again. Patrick Mahomes is really just starting to be in his prime. He's just really deep in his bag right now. Hollywood Brown only had four catches, but it felt like he had more.
But they were big catches. They were,
massive. It was like 4 for 49.
Yeah.
Like, very impactful. Let's talk about his not catch.
Who?
His not catch.
Hollywood Browns. Oh, yeah. Well, that was controversial. I think you could.
It was not a catch.
It probably wasn't a catch.
It was not a catch. Shout out to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes for keeping the play going. In addition,
they just move right along. And Steelers could have.
That's
they
what have a like challenge
seconds to challenge it, but they didn't.
I can't help the men sitting up in the nice little cozy room with all of their teammates and cameras did not pay attention fast enough to tell you.
Should have challenged it. Play
because you should have threw the red flag because it wasn't a catch. Right. However, we're going to continue to celebrate. I'm like, we're going to continue to celebrate. But no, Hollywood Brown coming back, and we kind of talked about this going against the Texans. Like, you see, like, the impact that he makes, how it makes Zay get to be a little bit more confident in himself. Travis Kelce got some really big catches in this game, too, of course, with breaking records. Isaiah Pacheco rib injury. That was kind of scary. So I actually watched that a couple times because I was trying to figure out how
it happened. Yeah.
So it kind of looks like he fell on the ball. But
it must have been something hitting him the wrong way. That as soon as he stood up, though, I was like, uh-oh. I was like, he's in pain.
He did get hit by Benton. But, like, it didn't look like it was, like, an awful hit. You know what I mean?
No. And that's he usually just pops up from that stuff, which is why we love him. And he doesn't usually... So it had to have hurt if he is being impacted by it. Like, it,
he didn't
come
back in the game. So I was like, But I had to watch it like 3 or 4 times. And I was just like,
on the same hand,
like a regular hit. But you know, those can sometimes be the worst.
But it's like, it's fine. Like, keep him out till playoffs. Let him rest. Like, it saved him.
I mean, especially because we've seen what Samaje Perine has been. We know.
Oh my God. One of my favorite players, honestly.
He has filled that Jerick McKinnon role almost perfectly, if not a little better.
Honestly, I love McKinnon.
You know what? I'm gonna say it because where Jerick McKinnon is an amazing player, like, no doubt about it. What he's done for this team over the last few years, like, super grateful for him, all of that.
I know. Yeah.
He's been so good, but I think that Samaje Perine having a little bit more weight on his body and being able to be a little bit more physical than, like, your McKinnon can be is where I say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and give him all of his flowers, because especially when he's out there blocking, especially when he's helping to create holes, like, shout out to him. Okay. Shout out to Perine, because he's been very, very good.
Even, like, in the clutch with Kelce on the pitches and just random stuff. Like, Samaje has just been, and I don't know, I'm sure everyone probably saw. I thought Travis was going to lateral it to D Hop this week.
He wants to be a quarterback so bad.
God dang, Travis.
I was like, Travis wants to be a quarterback so bad. Like, for real.
Please. Wait, this too. We got to talk about his blocking too, because Travis's blocking has also been elite this season.
All season long.
He had a good block against TJ Watt. Like, hello?
You know, and so did Noah Gray against TJ Watt. And I was like, okay, Noah.
Where's my tight ends?
But no, Travis, and it's really like unselfish too, because
very.
I would rather you be throwing the ball to Travis Kelce.
I know. And I'd rather his body not go through the blocking, but like,
but you know, left and right tackles. These left and right tackles out here.
Right, well. I don't know how these narratives keep getting built about him, that he's not a team player and he's a selfish player. And it's like, I don't know if that's because you think he's dating Taylor Swift, so all of a sudden he's become this like self-absorbed teammate man. Like, no, like if anything, he's become less selfish this season. And like,
yeah, y'all didn't see Travis his first three, four years as a Chief. Creating
now, yeah. He's completely high. Different now. He's completely different.
He's grown up. Our child has grown up into a young man.
Right in front of our eyes.
I remember hothead Travis Kelce.
It was a fun time.
I can't even hold it.
It was definitely a fun time.
You put on here. Oh, yeah. Harrison Bucker made a field goal. Missed extra point.
Nothing huge. It was because of Xavier's penalty, and then I think we were a little discombobulated there, but
but Harrison normally makes that.
I know,
so it made me go, okay, is he not as healthy?
That's where I feel like Tobe said he's like at 80-90%,
because it wasn't freezing cold. It was colder at our game than the Steelers game. It was colder at the Texans game than at the Steelers game,
I think even he at that is like better than most kickers. So I think that's why you roll with him.
And it wasn't windy.
No, I don't think it was. It was
only like a 3% wind or something.
Yeah, it wasn't wind, but it was just, I think it's just getting back into the groove of it, honestly. And I don't know if you noticed, a few of his kickoffs were a little short.
And he's still falling on his knee.
I think that's just his style, though. Yeah, I don't think he's going to
do another mini surgery next year.
Probably next year or next off. I don't know.
He's literally still kicking.
Maybe he can change it in the offseason. Like, maybe, I don't know. But we'll worry about that when we get there.
All right, Harrison. We're gonna keep all those thoughts to ourselves and only say positive things. The offensive line. Are we going to jump into it?
Yeah.
I'll let you start.
Well, I think overall, I know everyone has thoughts on Juwan Taylor, probably. Aside from his penalties, at least he didn't allow a sack. So I think to, like, sacrifice a sack, maybe you get a few penalties, which isn't ideal, really, because sometimes those are drive killers.
You're the second.
What?
He's the second leading tackle in penalties.
Yeah.
And he was first last year.
Did
everybody not see Andy Reid going off on the sideline?
It's quite frustrating. Especially because you can have your left guard go in at left tackle and not cause those penalties. And you can bring Mike Caliendo in and not have a penalty. Also, I thought we had to have...
No, Lexi, you're making way too much sense.
Well, I want to add to it, too. Add some fuel to the fire. We had Wanye Morris go in last week, and I don't think he had a false start. I don't think... Because Juwan went out.
We both agree that Juwan definitely should have played this week over Wanye. Absolutely.
Yes.
100%. Like, 100%. But everybody else is adjusting and figuring it out. And I don't want to hear the, oh, well, he has a banged up knee. Is everybody on the offensive line not banged up?
Everyone's banged up at this
point. Literally everybody on the team is banged up. So now it's only an excuse for Juwan Taylor to make it okay. But right. No one else is banged up. Patrick literally has one leg. Travis, uncle, is taking more blocks. And can you only imagine what his body is going through in the amount of
treatment
he has? DeAndre Hopkins, 32 years old. Can you imagine what it's like hitting the ground every single time?
Right.
Justin Reed, concussion, came back in the game. Like, what?
God, that was scary too.
Yeah. And I was like, is he concussed? Because he definitely lined up offside. But okay. Like, I get it. TJ Watt is a dog. I don't think he's better than Myles Garrett, but I'm not going to make the excuse of it's okay to have a few penalties when you're going against TJ Watt. That's crap. And people do not make the same excuses for anybody else on this team.
No, and I feel like Juwan has, he has moments where he is very good, and I can understand those for sure. And it's like a lot of people are like, okay, well, I'd rather, and he was against TJ Watt this entire game. He didn't really, I'm surprised they didn't put TJ on Tooney at all. But I guess TJ is on that side, so I get it. But I don't know. Juwan.
I mean, and they still
hope. It's never going to be, it's never, I think he is what he is at this point. I think you know so what you're going to get.
We just have to accept the fact that he's going to continue to get penalties against great players. And that's
because I don't see it changing because
it's Andy not going to change.
I mean, who's going to.
And Andy has shown his frustration. He's shown
Andy
it.
So it's like, they're.
Here's my thing.
I think he is who he is, and that's what you're going to get. And you know you're going to get a penalty or two a game, if not more.
And that sucks because Patrick definitely still did get hit. Even though he did not get sacked, he still took a lot of hits in this game. But, it's okay. It's okay. So my thing is this. I just want all people who are making the excuse for him that it's okay to have their own creative mind and not just say what other people say because you think it sounds right. No, penalties are not okay.
Yeah. No, they're not okay. I just think it is like, I think he is who he is at this point.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's lots of people who think differently. But I will say, shout out to the offensive line because the offensive line has went through hell this year.
Overall, especially these
They have went through hell this year and they are figuring out ways to still be 15-1. Yeah. Like shout out to them for
I'm still team Pay Trey Smith, so that's not changing.
Yeah, and Nick Bolton.
Yeah, pay them.
Go ahead and throw that in there.
You got a lot of people to pay, but they're worth it.
Let's go ahead and get into week 18, but we got a brand sponsor that we have to talk about.
Wait. Hold on. Buy me a minute because I gotta find this thing. Hold on.
Can't believe this team is 15-1 though. Like that's kind of insane. Like I actually like was drinking a glass of wine and I was like, this team is 15-1 through all the years through this year because there's no way we are the worst. What is it everybody saying? We are the worst 15-1 team ever. Okay. Fine. I'll take
it. Fine. Let it be because we're now showing you why we're 15-1 and why we continue to win. So
I will take being 15-1. And while Lexi is pulling this up, y'all, shout out to y'all for being in here and hanging with us today. We genuinely appreciate y'all. If you are listening on YouTube, please make sure that you swipe down and hit the like button. We already see a few likes coming through, but just continue to keep liking this impromptu Red Friday episode that we're having for you. And we appreciate the almost 1,200 of y'all that are in here listening to us on this beautiful Red Friday.
Go ahead. It's 4:30 p.m. on a Friday, and it doesn't even feel like Friday, but it is. So, but let's get into our sponsor, Autograph. So this is big news to share with you guys today. We are so excited to be partnering with Autograph, a fandom company co-founded by NFL legend, none other than Tom Brady. Their new app, Autograph, gives diehard fans like you a one-stop shop for all the best fan content for your favorite team. Obviously, the Chiefs. and rewards you for doing what you're already doing as a fan. For example, you can listen to our podcast, The Kingdom's Queens, anywhere. But when you listen on the Autograph app, you actually earn free coins that can be redeemed for amazing rewards, including free, discounted, and no-fee tickets, A-plus memorabilia and merch, and one-of-a-kind experiences. Download the Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today for free and use our referral code Kingdoms Queens. That's referral code Kingdoms Queens, the Autograph app where your fandom lives.
Shout out to Autograph.
Their app is awesome.
Shout out to Autograph. Their app is very cool. Like,
go listen to us on there if you haven't had enough of us and earn some coins.
Right. Like, I actually genuinely like their app. Like, there's something
I like. It's a cool app.
My God. This week is week freaking 17.
18.
Where are we at? Are we? Yeah. Next week. Wow.
Well, for us. There's a lot of teams that still have to play this weekend. So,
wait, it's Friday.
Yeah, next week is week 18.
Let's just have a super quick discourse about week 18.
Yeah, just quick.
We kind of talked about what the AFC scenarios look like for teams like the Bengals, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Colts, the Dolphins. Right. We talked about what those scenarios look like. Yeah. Now we know that. If the Chiefs win, that's going to help a few teams. If the Chiefs lose, that's going to help a few teams. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on who should the starters play? Which we know they're not. Yeah.
we'll entertain the discourse for you. So the thought is, like, is it too many days of rest? Because now we've earned the one seed, so the Chiefs don't have to play wild card weekend, which is great and exciting, thank goodness. However, that means you had the dates on that. It'll be pretty much a month.
January 18th or 19th would be when that's.
So it's a little less.
Wild card weekend is the weekend before that, which I believe is like 6, 7, 8. It's like Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's our bye week. So we don't have to play that week. And then the divisional round would be the following week, which is the 18th and 19th. So that's a Saturday and a Sunday.
And I really don't think it's a huge deal for the starters to play. I think our guys have enough experience, especially in the playoffs and Super Bowls these past few years, that I don't think them getting a few weeks rest is going to make them, like, forget how to play football all of a sudden and make them rusty and whatever. And they're going to still be practicing. They're still going to be in the facility. It's not like they're going to be off in Cancun. Like, they're still going to be, like, doing everything they need to do, going through the motions. So I don't think it's necessary to, like Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, Xavier Worthy, I mean,
Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. Like, that list can go. No, like, I 100% agree.
Yeah. And I still think the Chiefs could do something hilarious and still beat the Broncos with our backups. But the Broncos will need to win, so they're going to be playing to win that game.
Yeah.
So I kind of expect them to win, but that's fine. I don't really care because we don't need to win it. So
YOLO. We can lose for all I care.
Yeah.
16-1, that would be fun. But no,
I
wholeheartedly agree. Like, I get the discourse of sorry, I was reading a comment. I just seen this comment and it made me laugh. Yeah. I totally get the discourse of we don't want them to sit so long because we don't want them to rest. We don't want them to get rusty. Like, I fully get it because it's like 23 days or something of that nature that they would have off. However, when I think about this team too, I don't think of them coming out of preseason and going into week one. I think of them going into the playoffs. I feel like a switch flips for them every single time and the mentality just immediately changes. I think them locking in the one seat was so important for them because they wanted rest, because they need this on their body. When you have Patrick Mahomes,
not to mention, Brittany's going to be having her baby. So Mahomes got that
bye. I hope she got induced this morning. Let's speed this process up, guys. No, okay. We're wishing them the best of luck, love.
For sure. I just wanted to mention that because he made sure to mention that in his press.
But I mean that And I'm sure that, you know, he told the team and they're like, all right, well, let's go do this so we can go have this baby.
Right? Yeah.
So, I think that they wanted the one seed for so many reasons. They spoke about weeks ago being mentally drained already from just playing so many games. And that was
so many.
That was before the 11-day stretch. Mm-hmm. They had the week six bye. You got Patrick playing with one ankle and having a baby. You got Chris Jones dealing with his calf. You got now Isaiah Pacheco dealing with his ribs. And that doesn't even include just any of the other small injuries going on with players that we don't know about because their bodies are beat up and whatnot. So there's going to be a lot of guys who still play on week 18, right? But
because of roster depth, like you have to have
so many. But I want them to treat this like a preseason game. I don't want to see the five you already named plus more. I don't want to see them this week. And I think that them getting that rest and recovery and then coming back and being ready for whoever, because think about it, depending on who goes into this 7 seed and this 6 seed and how wild card week it goes, you know, we're going to probably see somebody that we just played.
It's sounding like we'll probably see the Steelers or Texans.
And I'm totally fine with seeing the Texans.
I'm fine with seeing either of them, to be honest. Yeah,
honestly, I'm not worried about anybody.
No.
I'm not worried about anybody because not only did we just see you, you have to come to Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish you the best of luck. what are your final thoughts about week 18?
I mean, that's pretty much all I got on that. I think just play the game, learn some things, and move on.
Literally. Get some rest.
And definitely it affects the Bengals playoffs. So Bengals are like, oh, the Chiefs are going to play their starters so that they don't have to see us in the playoffs. I'm like,
we can beat you with our backups. We can beat them.
What are you doing? No.
The amount of faith that I have in Carson, can we not act like Carson Wentz did not just start in the NFL literally 2 years ago?
Right. So actually, I think it'd be hilarious if Carson Wentz went out there and beat them, but you know, whatever.
It would be glory.
It is what it is.
Actually, good I luck. Would love it. Right. Wait every second. Let's go ahead and get into this next brand partner while we get ready to talk about the remainder of the games for week. Where are we at? 17.
Yeah.
Right? Week 17.
Yeah.
So this we haven't really told you guys yet. We have a new brand partnership.
Very excited. A very big one for us.
So this next segment is actually going to be brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. If you have not downloaded the Underdog Fantasy app yet, what are you doing right now? If you download the app and you use the promo code KingdomsQueen, we will match up to 50% deposit up to $1,000 for you. So, literally, go download the app. It's super dope. You can go on there and pick your favorite players. You can pick whether they're going to be higher, whether they're going to be lower. You can create, like, different rosters and entries of whatever you want. You can go from building 2 people on there to up to 8 people on there to just continue to increase the amount of dollars that you would get back from playing. So the Underdog app is fun.
It's very fun.
I put a lot of tickets in this week for the Chiefs game. Now, granted, none of them all went green, and that is
I can do so hot.
I'm like, we're now, gonna have a better
Saturday. we're gonna have a better Saturday and Sunday. The games on Christmas just went so differently than I expected that a lot of things that I thought for sure were going to happen just did not. And so I had like an 8-leg parlay and I think I had like 4 of the 8 hit. So we're going to do better next time, family. We're going to do better next time.
We got y'all. So make sure you download the Underdog Fantasy app. If you are not following me and Lexi on Twitter or on Instagram, we also put our picks and our entries on there too. So you can definitely get on there. Feel free to tell us if you want to do exactly what we do and put in exactly what we put in. We always screenshot what our favorite picks are for the game or the day. Because you can do more than football too. I know some of y'all love NBA. I know some of y'all love hockey. I know some of y'all love college football and college basketball. Y'all can make picks for all of these games, not
and
just
we'll get into it with when baseball starts back up too. We'll get into that.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. But yeah, so this segment today is brought to you by Underdog. So let's kind of go ahead and get into the remainder of the games that are for week 17 this week, because God bless, we're still in it.
Wednesday to Sunday. Insane.
Well, we already seen that the Thursday night game was not great. And now we have Saturday football, which I actually did not realize until like earlier today. There's three games.
I think it's going to be good.
It should be good. So on Saturday, we have the Chargers playing the Patriots at noon. Mm-hmm. I fully think the Chargers are going to win this game.
Yeah. Jeffrey's been doing his picks with us too every week. So that's been fun. We appreciate you doing that, Jeffrey.
Shout out. You need to download Underdog. Make some money on those picks that you put in. Cash it. If you cash it, make some money on those picks.
Exactly. But,
Chargers right. versus Patriots. I know you think the Chargers are going to win too.
I do. But I think some of these teams could play spoilers, and I think it could be funny. So, but I do think the Chargers will win.
You know, the Patriots are trying to. The Patriots don't, they're trying to raise their draft pick, not lower their draft
probably,
pick.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to, and I do want to say, though, Drake May has been pretty serviceable this year.
Yeah.
Like, I think that they got something.
I think
something
he's going to be good.
Yeah, I think they got something in him. But, yeah, the Chargers are definitely going to go ahead and win this game.
Because playoff implications, Chargers need that. Like, there's no way.
Literally. Broncos versus Bengals, which is a huge game at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Who do you
arguably
think is the best game of the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think wins this game? The game is in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They're doing their stripe, whatever they call it. Paint the town. Stripe the town. I'm like,
stripe the town.
I don't know what Bengals but that's what they're doing.
The Who Days.
The Who Days is crazy.
Oh, my God. I don't know who's going to win this. I think so the big question is cornerback for the Broncos, Riley Moss, who's been really good all year. He's been out for a few weeks. I think he's set to start on Saturday, tomorrow.
Projected
but it's not for
back.
Sure. I think if he plays, they have a way better chance of winning. I think if he doesn't play, I think the Bengals walk away with it. I think I'm going to take the Bengals. I think they want it more. They have more experience. And I think Bo Nix, I think his rookie is going to show on Saturday.
The Bengals defense is so bad.
It's so bad. But is the Broncos offense that good? Eh.
No, but would you be surprised if Bo Nix ran for like I would take the over on Bo Nix running for 50 yards.
Yeah. I think Bo Nix will run. I mean,
he's going to run all over them.
I don't know. He'll definitely run, but Jamar Chase, I think, is too much.
He's been very good. But so the Broncos defense.
Neither team has a good run game. Broncos defense is great when they want to be. They've also had like huge flubs.
And they know how to play in a hostile environment.
They do, but they also like allowed the Browns to put up like 35 points on them or like 40, something crazy. So it's like and then the Bengals offense is way better than the Browns. So
absolutely. 100%.
I kind of think
you almost have to always take Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase over anybody that's not the Chiefs. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Bengals.
It'll probably be the Bengals. You're right. And then the last game of Saturday is Cardinals at Rams, which is actually another great game. Even though the Cardinals are now officially eliminated.
They are. But they're going to want to spoil the Rams.
Yeah, and the Rams are fighting. They have been hot these last few weeks. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. They have all been fantastic. And it's in LA. So.
Yeah. I think Rams win, but I think Cardinals are going to put up a good battle. I don't think they're going to make it easy for them.
I agree. I think the Rams will win. Sunday and Monday. Okay. So the Jets and the Bills play at noon on Sunday. The Jets have been officially eliminated.
For a while.
The Bills are now fighting for a 2 seed.
They are. I do think Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams have been finding their stride these past few weeks. Now it's too late, but I think they've finally been finding what they've been looking for all season.
When you say a team that's going to upset and ruin somebody's day, I fully see the Jets being like, let's go.
Right? Being that team.
I see the Jets doing that.
Now, if the Jets do that, Josh Allen can kiss MVP goodbye.
Oh, yeah. So. Hand it over to Saquon. No, I'm kidding. Give it to Lamar. But the Jets have to go to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, I say that, but like, Aaron Rodgers can play anywhere.
You know what I mean?
Like,
he's not scared of the environment.
In my head, I was going to go, well, they're going to Buffalo and it might be hard because of the atmosphere. And I'm like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. No, he'll be fine.
No, he can play anywhere. Bills defense is a big question for me. I think Jets could spoil it. I think they could.
Yeah, I feel like I need to take Devontae Adams for a touchdown.
But I do think the Bills will win. But I would love to see the Jets spoil it just for fun.
Yeah, I think the Bills will win too.
And also out of the saltiness. The saltiness I have for the Bills' schedule in their last 3 weeks of the season, they get Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
And they didn't have to play 3 games in 11 days. And they had a later bye. So,
yeah.
Go Jets. and then the noon game, which is now terrible because there's no Dak and there's no Jalen Hurts.
That's why I'm like, but.
Cowboys, Eagles. The Eagles need to win. So, I mean, they
need it for their seeding.
And they're at home. And I mean, who's the backup?
Kenny Pickett.
Who's the backup for Philly?
Oh, Kenny Pickett.
And he was decent last week.
So the thing is, okay, so the Eagles
are getting the ball to A.J. Brown.
What?
I said he kept getting the ball to A.J. Brown.
Yeah. Well, listen. If you can have a serviceable quarterback on the Eagles, you can do pretty well because they have a loaded offense.
The amount of weapons they have is insane.
The Eagles are 12-3. The Commanders are 10-5. So if the Commanders were to win out and the Eagles were to lose out, that's where things get interesting. So the Eagles need to win. That's why I think the Cowboys would love to spoil this for them. And Cooper Rush has been playing decently.
CeeDee Lamb is out for the season.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. And then they might lose there. Never mind. I forgot about that.
Is out for the season.
You're right.
So I'm going to actually jump to Sunday Night Football first before I go to the 325 game. You got Falcons at Commanders Sunday Night Football. And I fully see the Commanders winning this game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Jaden Daniels has been hot. And rolling. Him and Terry McLaurin have been insane.
But I actually want to shout out Michael Penix Jr. He played well.
Oh, yeah.
In his NFL debut, he played well. I just think the Falcons are kind of a hot mess right now.
Yeah, they're figuring out a way to get their exit strategy for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
They're creating what that is now.
They're not winning a Super Bowl. Like,
they've officially made the transition. And shout out to MPJ. I think we've been waiting for however long to finally watch him get his debut and he got it. But yeah, I fully think he's gonna win.
I just think too, like, I know the Falcons actually beat the Bucks twice this year, but I think Bucks are far and away a better team than the Falcons are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'd rather see the Bucks in the playoffs than I would rather see the Falcons.
Rather see Baker Mayfield than
Yeah.
I'm like 100%. The 325 game on Sunday. So I will say the 2 3 o'clock games on Saturday and Sunday are probably the best games of the weekend. So Packers at Vikings, which also is playoff seeding in their division because that division right now. Not only is it loaded, I need to pull it up because I need to see all three of their records.
I know. I was just looking at that.
The Packers are 11-4. The Vikings are 13-2. And the Lions are
13-2. So the week 18 Lions and Vikings game is going to be insane.
So glad our guys get to rest.
But that means,
oh. Which is another reason why technically Philly can't lose, because if they take a loss, the Commander, I mean, the Green Bay can jump over them for the third seed. Can you imagine if that entire division went 1-2-3 in the NFC conference?
They could. Well, the Commanders could. Yeah, the Commanders could technically take the third seed. I don't know.
Well,
no, it would be the second seed, but. Yeah, Lions. So, I mean, it can only be one of them in the top four.
You're right.
But Vikings and Packers are both going to be in the playoffs. So
that NFC is very interesting.
It is very interesting. So the Packers
I'm like sitting here reading it, and I'm like, interesting.
So the Packers really need to win the game. Now, if the week 18 would be way more interesting, because I do think, so the Lions play the, no.
Hold on, I need to pull this back up.
Oh, the Lions play the Niners on Monday, so they're probably going to win that.
Yeah.
Which should have been a really good game, but the Niners are just a failure this year, so.
Yeah, because the Niners should have definitely been in the Broncos. I mean, the Niners should have definitely been in the playoffs. And yeah, and the Lions,
So I think the Lions win on Monday Night Football against the Niners, which puts them at 14-2. And then
the Vikings. Whoever,
so the Vikings really need to win.
Yeah, Sunday. Packers this week, Lions next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gauntlet.
That's tough.
That is a freaking gauntlet.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Who do you want to win the NFC North?
The NFC North?
Yeah.
I
want the Vikings to win so bad.
I think it'd be really cool to see the Vikings win it, for sure.
I want the Vikings to win it so bad.
It'd be really fun. I think the Lions will ultimately win it, but I would love to see the Vikings win it, for sure.
I'm going for a Chiefs-Vikings Super Bowl.
Would love that. Chiefs-Vikings or Chiefs-Packers would be my picks.
Yeah. Get the Lions out of here, guys. No, yeah. I guess the Lions out of here. Even though I really respect Dan Campbell, but yeah. And then we just talked about Lions and Niners. The Lions are definitely going to win that probably on Monday Night Football, because the Lions are definitely going to win because the Niners have so many injuries. God bless. I could not get that.
Yeah. Nope. It's true.
Do they pay Brock Purdy $70 million a year, $60 million a year next year?
I think he's going to wait one more year.
Or do they go get a quarterback?
Poor kid, because he lives in the most expensive area in the country. Not making much money, but, you know, it's okay.
Getting everybody Toyotas.
Yeah.
Shout out to the...
I think that's about it.
Seriously. What are your score predictions for Week 18 Chiefs versus Broncos?
I'm just going to give something outlandish here, and I'm going to say, just for fun, what if the Chiefs score over 30? How funny would that be?
Oh, my God.
No. I think it's going to be like, I'm still going to take us just because I always take us, and why not? Even though it's not starters. I think it's going to be like 27-24 Chiefs.
You think it's going to be that high? Okay.
I have no idea. I don't know.
It might be like, okay, so wait, who wins the game? Did you say who wins? You think the Chiefs win?
I think Chiefs win, just because I'm always going to take us, but I think Broncos could win.
I think the Broncos win this week, next week, wherever week 18 is.
I probably will.
I think the Broncos win, and I think it's like 24-21. And that's, I don't even know what the weather in Denver is going to be. It might snow. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Well, yeah, let's get out of here and get to the rest of our brand sponsors. Shout out to Homage. Got on a Homage tee today. I believe right now, if you hop onto their website, they currently have 20% off. So make sure that you pay Homage and go to the website. Check out all of their vintage apparel and just good apparel that they have. Washes very well. I can't believe I have a short sleeve on, but I'm clearly about to change clothes because I'm about to go. Shout out to them. So much great product on their website right now. I know a lot of people went in and got a lot of stuff for the holiday season. So thank you guys so much for doing that. And we're currently in the talks with them right now, working on possibly a playoff giveaway package. So give us time and give us grace, y'all. But make sure you are clicking on to homage.com and follow them on all social media platforms, because why not? And then last, I don't have it up here. Shout out to Boulevard Brewery. One of our favorite local places in Kansas City, where you can get all type of homemade brewed beverages that are just delicious. I don't have any quirks next to me right now, but I see that Lexi has hers. So
I do. I have a strawberry, lemon, and basil one, and it's so
really good. Yeah, shout out to them.
They have like the most flavors of these seltzers, but they're like I haven't found one I don't like. So I don't know.
We were trying all the beers. We were like, yeah, this one's good. Oh, this one's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like this too.
You cannot go wrong. And then like if you go to their brewery, they have delicious food, and it's just, we just love Boulevard. So check them out if you're in Kansas City. And I think we are in some other markets as well. But yeah, that's all I got.
What's next Tuesday's date?
That's New Year's Eve. So we'll just kind of go. I'll probably not do it next Tuesday either. Maybe Wednesday? New Year's Day?
New Year's Day? Yeah, no. No. No.
So probably next Thursday?
Maybe Monday?
We could do Monday. We're not going to have a whole lot new to talk about except playoff stuff, but.
Yeah, I know, because we don't play following Sunday. Shout out to the break.
We'll let you guys know.
Look, we'll let you guys know what day we do. We just know it's probably not going to be Tuesday or Wednesday next week.
Yeah.
With that being said, please be safe for New Year's. You are not going to see the Queens until after. No drinking and driving. 2025. Uber. Call a Uber, call a designated driver, walk. Stay at home. Do whatever you got to do. There's a lot of good college football getting ready to come up in the next couple of days with all the bowl games and things. So make sure you download the Underdog app so you can put a few tickets in and pick your favorite picks. But no, I guess we'll see y'all in 2025.
Crazy. See y'all next year.
I can't believe the year flew by like that.
No. Crazy. And we're almost at our 100th episode. So we're on our way.
Well, shout out to y'all. Everybody be safe, be careful, and we will see y'all in the new year.
We love y'all and thanks for all the support during 2024. We'll be back in 2025. Bye, y'all.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.